within, you know, Chodesh Adar has its own momentum, but it's very rare that we get to discuss, you know, Parshas Pekudei in the, you know, in it, first of all, you know, without, you know, the Dalet Parshios and without Vayakhel as well. And I think it's very, very important opportunity for us to think a little bit about the completion, the closing of, you know, Sefer Shmod and how, you know, Parshas Pekudei represents what exactly, you know, is achieved over the course of Shmos, which is a very important, you know, part of Jewish history and an important part of our self-identity. And in particular, as we know, Sefer Shmos is a transition between going from a family, Es Yaakov Yishuv Es Obau, is the beginning of the Sefer, and becoming a nation, Am B'nai Yisrael. And that transition is a very critical stage. That's the only time in Jewish history that we've done that. There was a very interesting point in Sefer Shmos when the process was almost restarted. I'm, of course, alluding to the Chet HaEgel, where Hashem says, should we do this again? In other words, go from a family to a nation, where it would be Moshe's family. Moshe would take the place, essentially, of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and become the, you know, Av HaUma, and build from there. And Moshe repudiates that. So that conversation is really the central conversation, in many ways, in Sefer Shmos, because what it means is that this is an irreversible transition. If I could use a mashal, you know, in the world of chemistry, there are what we call the reversible reactions and irreversible reactions, right? Depending on the catalysts, etc. So what happens here is that the reaction, the family to nation transition, is irreversible. It's, now, our state as a nation is not something that can be retracted, and that's exactly what Moshe and HaKadosh Baruch Hu were debating after the Chet HaEgel. You know, do we want to restart at the level of family, get rid of this nation, and build your family into a nation? The answer, of course, was Vimayin. So Parshas Pekudei really, I think, is the critical place to look in terms of what our family becoming a nation means, what that means for the Jewish people. And a lot of what I say would be true under any circumstances, but I think takes on really much greater significance in light of what's going on today. So, you know, in that spirit, let's start at the end, and then we'll talk a little bit about the, you know, Haftorah, and circle back to the beginning of Shmos and have a little bit of a conversation about this transition. Vayichas Hanan es Ohel Moed, uchvod Adonai malei es hamishkan. V'lo yachol Moshe lavo al Ohel Moed, ki shachan alav Hanan, uchvod Adonai malei es hamishkan. So we're being told two things at once in this brief series of psukim. One is that the Kvod Hashem is present, that the Mikdash Mishkan project, if you want to call it that, was a successful project, right? That's number one. So the Shechina is here, Chvod Hashem Aleihes HaMishkan. But, you know, in the spirit of be careful what you wish for, what happens? Because the Kvod Hashem has descended, so now what's the result? You know, that's a good thing, we're not complaining, but what now is the story? Because the Kvod Hashem has descended, so what is now not possible? Right? Moshe is V'lo yachol Moshe l'vo lo moed. So, you know, be careful what you wish for. The Kvod Hashem is so intensive that Moshe is, you know, blocked off. So the Ramban explains in the following very, I think, beautiful manner. V'hatam, this is the third source, Shalo yavo sham shalo berishos. Aval yikra oso v'yavo b'so chanan, kasher asa b'har Sinai v'yikral Moshe v'yom ha-shvi'i mito chanan. So the Ramban, lishitaso, in keeping with his approach, the Ramban says that what's happening here is a continuation of what happened at Har Sinai. Just like Moshe couldn't approach the Arafel, he couldn't approach that cloud, you know, uninvited. So you have the same exact phenomenon. It doesn't mean v'lo yachol Moshe, you know, in the prohibitive sense, it means that Moshe needed a matir. He needed a permission structure. Now, if you look in the Haftorah from Sefer Melachim Aleph, the same phenomenon repeated itself. Az Yakel Shlomo, right, like Parshas Vayakel, Pekudei, Az Yakel Shlomo, Ziknei Yisrael, Eskal Rashi Amatos, Nisiyei Vosei Bnei Yisrael, HaMelech Shlomo Yerushalayim, Lahalos Esaron Bris Hashem, Meir David Hitzion, Vayikalu El HaMelech Shlomo Kol Ish Yisrael, Beyerach HaEtanim Bechag, Okay? And then we have Lo Yachua Kohanim Lamod, this is the bolded part, Lisharis, Mipnei Hanan, Kimalei Chvod Hashem is Beis Hashem. You have the same phenomenon, that it was not really possible for the Kohanim to be able to enter under the circumstances. Then, you have a beautiful agada about this, that Shlomo had to appeal, and this will serve as a point of departure for the rest of our analysis today. Shlomo had to appeal to family merits, okay? Shabana Shlomo is Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara in Shabbos, Bikesh Lahachnas, Aron LeBeis Kachya Kedashim, Davku Sharim Zebazah, they wouldn't let him in. So again, this is the same phenomenon. History repeating, Amr Shlomo, Esrim V'arba Rinanos, Velonana, was enough, Pasach V'amr, Su Sharim V'Sheichem, Yidasu Pizche Olam, V'yav HaMelech HaKavod, V'yatu Basrei, the Mivla'e, they're going to consume him, as it were, Amr Miuz HaMelech HaKavod, Amr Lehu Hashem Yizuz V'Givor. He wasn't talking about himself, he was talking about the Kaddish Baruch Hu, Chazar V'amr, Su Sharim V'Sheichem, Su Pizche Olam, V'yav HaMelech HaKavod, Miuz HaMelech HaKavod, Hashem Tzvakos HaMelech HaKavod Salah. Yesh Devarim Bego, the idea that Shlomo maybe was referring to himself, I think, is part of the subtle critique of this Gemara, but he wasn't. Vilo nana. But either way, the reason that he's not being answered is that there's a little bit of a question mark hanging over the enterprise. How much of this is Kvod Shemaya? How much of this is Kvod, Malchusa Da'ara? How much of this is Shlomo about himself? Kevan Shamar Hashem Elokim Al Tashay Pnei Mishichacha Zachar L'Chazde David Avdecha Miyad Nana Be'osasha Nefchu Pnei Kol Sonei David Kishulek Deira. Right, of course, on the Avon of Batsheva. So the point here is that only Bischos, his father, Bischos David, was the base Hamikdash operational, was it activated. And I think that's so interesting. That the Avon of Batsheva was expiated. Why does that remind us of something with the Mishkan? Actually, an explicit Rashi in this week's parasha, that the Mishkan, which is called the Mishkan Ha'edus, what does Rashi say? That it's an Edus, that the existence of the Mishkan is an Edus, l'chol ba'e olam, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was a viter al Maisa HaEgel, on this act of zinus, on this act of infidelity, right? So we have so many layers of repeating story, right? You have the idea of this terrible avon, this terrible breach, whether it's the Chet HaEgel, whether it's the Maisa Batsheva, and then we have the repair, the construction of the Mishkan and the Egel, and the construction of the Mishkan, or the Mikdash rather, in the days of Shlomo. And in both cases, velo yachol Moshe, velo yachlu akohanim. As the Ramban explains, Moshe needed a matir, he needed to be called. And Shlomo needed a matir, but in Shlomo's case, what's the matir? He's not Moshe Rabbeinu, he's not going to be called, but the permission structure is the zechus of his father, of David HaMelech and his dream. Okay, so we see here this climactic moment for the Jewish nation, for the Jewish people, for the world, comes back to family. Okay. V'yedu chol ha'am v'chol Yisrael, shemachalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'oso avon. Not only was David personally forgiven, but his zechus becomes the su'u sha'arim, becomes the permission structure for the entire project of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. So now let's go back to the beginning. We know, at the beginning of Sefer Shmos, that the Jewish people descend as a family. Ve'ela Shmos b'nei Yisrael habayi mitzrayma es Yaakov ishu ve'esobo. The end, the very, very last pasuk. Ki anan Hashem al mishkan yomam, V'esh tiyalai labo, leinei chol beis Yisrael b'chol ma'asehem. Chol beis Yisrael. So the Jewish people are referred to here, millions of them, in the national setting. But the specific formulation of the Torah is so suggestive. How are we called in our national setting? Kol Beis Yisrael. What does that very terminology indicate to us? The Jewish nation is being described as a bias. What's the essence of that description? It's true, we went from being a family to a nation, but how do we understand this? If we're a Kol Beis Yisrael, it's not just an Am, it's not just a Kahal, it's not just an Eda. What does it tell us that we're called Kol Beis Yisrael? I mean, seriously, what do people think? What's the significance of that formulation?
Now we're all in it together.
A bias, a family, a house, a household. We've expanded. It's like, you know, you people do home improvement. Yeah. May have seen that once or twice in Bergen County. Expansion. But the fundamental identity is the bias. The thesis of the Shir, the central idea, is that the Jewish nation is a family. It's a family that isn't only a nuclear blood family, it goes beyond. But the nation retained its familial identity, Kol Beis Yisrael. We never sacrificed the intensity of family connection. That expression, Kol Beis Yisrael, tells you in a way everything you need to know. Imagine individual batim, personal, familial homes that are linked to each other to form an entity called Kol Beis Yisrael. And I'd like to go back to another section of Sefer Shmos, which I believe is, it's my opinion, the mechanism through which this happened, right? If you want to talk about expanding your family home, the mechanism is construction. Contractor will come and he'll build more. When did it happen that the Jewish people went from being individual families to a nation, but that had interlocking batim? One bias is linked to the next bias and to the next bias. Each family has its own integrity, you know, ner ishu beso within that composite, but the whole is still called the bias. So I think this is, of course, the night of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Leil Chamisha Asar B'Nisan. Torah tells us, V'hayaki yomru aleichem b'neichem, ma'avodah zos lechem, you have the ninth source, v'martim zevach pesachu la'adonai asher pasach al batei b'nei Yisrael b'mitzrayim, b'nog poes mitzrayim v'yas bateinu hitzil. The Jewish homes were saved. All of the Jewish homes were saved. By the Egyptians, the opposite. Ein bayis asher ein sham meis. Okay. But that would only give you a sense that there were many individual Jewish batim. How did each of these batim, how did each of these homes get linked together? So if you go back with me to the story of the Korban Pesach, let's remind ourselves. Debril kladas Yisrael limor be'asor l'chodesh hazeh v'yikchu lahem ish selaveis avo selabayis. Basically, each home had its own seh, its own sheep. This is the moment when the Jews are being separated from the Egyptians, when that process of divergence is going on. V'im yim'ad habayis miyos misa. V'lakachu u'shchino hakarov el beiso b'mechsas nefashos. Ish lefi achlo tachosu al haseh. Se tamim zachar ben shana yelacha min hakvasim u'min ha'izim tikachu. So what does the Torah tell us? That by default, each home will have its own seh. But there are going to be homes where the seh is simply too much. Small family. Now there's a halacha called nosar. You're not supposed to leave the Korban Pesach over. So what do? You find your neighbor and you form an expanded bias. You expand what's called the chabura. V'imimad habayis miyos misa v'lakachu shcheno hakarov el beiso b'mechsas nevashos. Now you've actually hooked on another house, and another house, and another house. I'm suggesting that the Karban Pesach was the mechanism through which a family became a nation. One bias hooked on to another bias, which hooked on to another bias. In fact, there's a remarkable halacha which emerges in this section, v'shachatu oso kol kahal Adas Yisrael ben Harbayim, the first time the Jewish people are referred to by this remarkable term, which is again conjured up at the end, Vayakel Moshe is called Adas Bnei Yisrael, Kahal Adas Yisrael. That's the source, the Gemara in Kiddushin tells us, for the din of Shlucho Shel Adam Kemoso, Ma'atem Bnei Bris, Af Shluchachem Bnei Bris. This is how we know a Jew can act as an agent for another Jew. Shlucho Shel Adam Kemoso. Even though, again, you may not know him very deeply, but as long as he's a member of the extended bias of the family, he can be in one stead. Halachic agency. Yish mekadesh bo uvishlucho. He can perform the most intimate acts. The Korban Pesach was the moment when we were differentiated from the Egyptians, not just in the sense that God destroyed the Egyptians' homes, but we were distinguished from the Egyptians in terms of what the character of the Jewish nation would be as opposed to the Egyptian nation. The Egyptian nation was a nation like other nations. We were going to be a nation, goy echad ba'aretz, singular and distinctive, where our national identity was first and foremost a familial bond. The kol beis Yisrael, Jerry, as you were noting, or sometimes as we like to say it, and this is really the way that it comes up in the Chumash. How do we say it? And we've been saying it a lot these last 5 months. Achenu kol beis Yisrael. We are actually brothers. The term beis Yisrael implies that the nation is defined by a familial bond. Ki yamuch achicha umata yado imach v'chazak tabo. The familial bond, which always exists, it's a category. I think it's a mutable category of Jewish life, but it takes on its greatest significance in the context of when we really need each other. And that, I believe, has its roots in the two other times that we find the expression Kol Beis Yisrael in the Torah. They're both situations of Avelos. To start with the simpler one, when Aaron died, and very famously, Rashi, you know, based on the Avos to Rabbi Nassan, has a beautiful interpretation of this. When Aaron died, he was mourned by Kol Beis Yisrael, by the entire Jewish people, as if they were one family. The family members sit Shiva. The antecedent to that is what you have here in the 10th source. When Nadav and Avihu died, Be'akrivam Eish Zara Lifnei Hashem, and because they were involved in the Avoda, the Chanukah Samishkan, Aaron, Nadav, and Avihu were not allowed to mourn. Vayomer Moshe al Aaron al Azar li Samar Banav Roshechem al Tifro Vidyechem lo Sifromu v'lo Samusu v'al Kol Ha'idah Yiktzov V'acheichem Kol Beis Yisrael Yivku Es Hasireifa Asher Saraf Hashem. Acheichem kol beis Yisrael. That's where the expression comes from. We've said it 1,000 times since October 7th. We should know its origin. Acheinu kol beis Yisrael, v'acheichem kol beis Yisrael. The immediate family can't mourn, but the extended family will mourn. Kol beis Yisrael. We're part of the same family. The loss of Nadav and Avihu isn't only the tragedy of Aharon and the brothers Elazar and Itamar. It's a tragedy for the entire extended family. So the story of Sefer Shmos, if all we know is that you go from being a family to a nation, I think we're missing the point. In Sefer Shmos, we go from a family to being a nation that retained its familial identity, V'haraya kol beis Yisrael. When did that happen, and how did that happen? I believe the night of Korban Pesach. V'imimad habayis miyos misev alakachu shchino hakarov el beiso. One bias, a link to the next bias. We linked our batim into something of a new entity called the House of Israel. Es Yaakov Ishu Veso Bo thereby was expanded to Kol Beis Israel. I want to make one point about the Rambam's utilization of this term, and then I want to come back to the central motif. So just like in the Chumash, interestingly enough, the term Kol Beis Yisrael, as we noted, appears only three times. It's a very singular signature expression that reflects, like I said, a unique concept, category called the family nation. It only appears three times in the Yad HaChazaka. The first is in Yisodei HaTorah, in the context of Kol Beis Yisrael Metzuvin Al Kiddush Hashem Agadol Azeh. Some of the Achronim taught maybe this even means not just Anashim Menashim, but Ketanim. The next is in the context of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, Nagu Kol Beis Yisrael, Laharbos Bitztako V'Maisim Tovim. And then the third instance is in the Birchas HaTorah, V'ni Anachnu, V'tzetzeinu, V'tzetzeitzetzeinu, V'tzeyamcha, Kol Beis Yisrael, Yodei Shemecha. The Rambam has it a little bit earlier in his Nosach, as Divrei Sarascha, V'afino Fifio Samcha, Kol Beis Yisrael. And I don't think it's an accident. These are three areas of halacha that reflect what I would call not just mitzvos, but mitzvos that define what it means to be part of the Jewish family. The Jewish family, and we know the halacha is that b'nei Noach ena mitzuvin al kiddush Hashem, they have no such concept. They can do whatever they want. They can give up their lives if they want to, or they could violate the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. It's all up to them. But to be part of the Jewish family means that there are certain situations where you must violate the Torah V'chai Bahem, and there are certain situations where you must sacrifice your life. Yiharei Gval Yavor. There's no in-between ground, at least according to the Rambam. Kol Beis Yisrael Mitzuvin Al Kiddush Hashem HaGadol Hazeh. I don't think it's, you know, the rabbo says aktanim, but it means that the Jewish family makes this kind of sacrifice. Number two, of course, by Limud HaTorah. Nachri Shasak B'Torah Chayev Misa. To be part of the family means that this is our heritage. Morasha Kihilas Yaakov. And of course, by Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, right? The Aseres Yemei Tshuva, the whole world is done with its judgment. And Rosh Hashanah, Kol Baye Olam, Ovrin Lifnei Lefanav Kivnei Maron, that's over. For us, the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, it extends to Yom Kippur. We're alone at that point in time. It's a familial experience. It's something that we share only with the members of the family. These areas, these three areas. I think it's Meduyak in the Rambam. So it's always true that we have to retain this sense of familial identity, that our individual batim are linked into Kol Beis Yisrael. But how much more so is it true, Be'itos Tzara, in times of great challenge? Let me share with you the Rambam that I was alluding to before, in the context of not necessarily a national crisis, but a personal crisis. Chayavin anu liyuzayir mitzvah tzedaka yoser mikol mitzvah tzaseh she tzedaka siman letzadik zera Avram avinu. Are you in the family? Are you part of zera Avram? Shenemar ki yedativ leman asher yitzah vezban avla. So it's tzedaka. Ve'en kisei Yisrael miskonein v'dasa emes omedes ala bitzdaka shenemar v'tzedaka tikonani. We understand, we have to be very careful. We understand there's a lot that depends on it. Shenemar, V'chol mishu achzari v'enu mirachem, yesh lachush liyachso. Person who doesn't demonstrate compassion, we have to be concerned that they're not really part of the family. They don't have yichus. You know, normally people say yichus, they mean, you know, connected to some famous personality, rabbinic personality, a wealthy personality, whatever that means. But here it just means, are you part of the family or not? Shena achzarius mitzuya ala ba'akum, shenemar achzari hema v'lo yirachemu. V'chol yisrael v'anil v'aleyem ke'achim heim, shenemar bonim atem l'ashem elokeichem. V'im lo yirachem ha'ach al ha'ach, mi yirachem alav. Ulemi aniyah yisrael nosin enehem, hal akam shesonin osan v'rodfim acharehem, enehem tluyos ela liachehem. Picking up on the language of the Torah, both in Sefer Vayikra and especially in Parsha Esrei, when the Rambam discusses the laws of tzedakah, he does so strikingly b'lashon achva. Yirachem ha'ach al ha'ach. We're all children of the same father, Zera Avraham Avinu. Mi yirachem alav. Lemi aniyah Yisrael nosin eseinehem. Who do they look to? Halo la'achehem. They look to their brothers. They look to their family. Achenu kol beis Yisrael. So as important as it is all the time to be aware of the familial bonds, those bonds aren't strained, but lehefech, are dramatically reinforced in an eis tzara. When one member of the family is in trouble, whatever the trouble is, the wagons are circled, the best sense of that term. And we pull out all stops to help, whether it's the individual in distress, financial distress, physical distress, emotional distress, and certainly in moments of national crisis. Achenu kol beis Yisrael. The reason that the transition in Sefer Shmos between a family and a nation was mediated specifically in this way was that we should never, God forbid, lose our familial identity. We're not a nation like any other nation. We're not a nation because we have shared culture, even shared experiences. We're a nation that's a family. And that means something in general. That means even more when the family is in trouble. It's also the reason that somebody who is disloyal, whether we're talking about a Moser Nafsho Shel Yisrael Akum, Moser Mamon Yisrael Akum, or somebody who's disloyal in the sense of being Porish Midarchi Atzibur, in Lo Chilek Olam Haba. A person who betrays the family, please forgive me if you feel that this language is, you know, bordering on, you know, organized crime, but, you know, it's one thing that we can respect about that world, it's family loyalty. If you betray the family, eno nichnas betzarason, eno misana betanisan, ein lo chilek lo lahaba. Family loyalty matters. There are certain unforgivable offenses when people stand against the family in its time of distress. That's not a simple avera. We all sense that. I found that people have an intuitive understanding of this principle. You know, you could have interesting theoretical discussions, you know, based on the Gemara in Ksuvos and the Shalosh Shavuos, you know, and you could have interesting historical discussions about the history of Zionism, secular Zionism. But when the chips are down and the Jewish people are being persecuted and Jews suffered the worst pogrom in the Holocaust, and you see these people from the Ture Karta standing with blood enemies of the Jewish people, we all have a visceral response. Why is that? It's not an ideology. It's because how can you possibly abandon the family when we're suffering And you stand with those who have no regard whatsoever for Jewish life? We all feel that. We all know that to be true in our hearts before we know it in our heads. You can think whatever you want, politically, ideologically. But there are people who shed Jewish blood, and you go and visit them in Tehran or in Beirut, you know, or supportive of them here in the United States, it's an unforgivable thing. Because it's a betrayal of the family. It's a terrible sin. Ein lo chelak l'olam haba. All members of the family instinctively feel the need to rally around the family when it's in distress. V'acheichem kol beis Yisrael yivku es ha-sreifa asher saraf Hashem. And it works in the other direction also. A surprising interaction this week with somebody who doesn't know me, but for various reasons that aren't important right now, an almana whose husband died for the Jewish people on October 7th. And there was an interaction that initially surprised me. Then when I thought about it, then I understood. So again, this is not a person who knows me or for whom anything I say would be particularly meaningful for any reason. All they know is I happen to be a rabbi in Teaneck, New Jersey, and connections and broader connection to indirectly, really, to her family. And I expressed the sentiment that her husband didn't only die, you know, for his immediate community or for the Jewish people in Israel, but for every Jew in the world. And his sacrifice is held in great reverence by Jews all over the world. That's all, you know, basically all I said. She doesn't know me. There's nothing, no reason that anything I would say would be particularly significant. And she had a very strong reaction to it. And I have to say I was very surprised. But then I thought about it and I realized, well, I can't be 100% sure because I didn't ask her and it wouldn't be my place to ask her. I think the reason that she reacted the way that she did was because even though we're separated by 6,000 miles and even though we've never met, we don't have any shared experiences, she senses that we're part of the same family. She heard what I said as saying that we're part of something called Kol Beis Yisrael. V'acheichem Kol Beis Yisrael yivku es ha-sreifa asher saraf Hashem. And your loss isn't only your loss, it's a loss for all of us, of a Gibor Yisrael. And we see his death as a sacrifice that was made so that the Jewish people could live. And it touches the deepest chord within all of us that we're all part of the same family. And so, just as when we see people standing on the wrong side, whatever it's, any year at the Israeli Day Parade, it's a nuisance. But now it's worse than that. It's a betrayal, and it strikes a very deep nerve. Do you not care about the Jewish people at all? Are you seriously standing with those for whom Jewish blood means nothing? So the opposite of that is when there's a sense that we're all part, when you're nichnas b'tzarasan, even in a very admittedly inadequate and dilute way, it touches the deepest part of the Jewish collective soul, the Kol Beis Yisrael. We're all part of this extended family. And in that way, I think Sefer Shmos is utterly remarkable. That we mediated this transition from family to nation without sacrificing that which makes a family precious. The bonds of family. The instinctive defense of members of the family. What does the pasuk say? Lo samod al dam reyacha. Sefer Shmos is the story of how we somehow mediated the transition from 70 to millions without sacrificing, within that framework, the intimacy of family. the fact that you know that you can turn to your family. Anybody here involved in the Nachyomi program? I just want to bring an example. Okay. So, forgive me for going a little bit outside of the parsha, but I'm going to make the point. So we're learning the prakim right now of Pilagesh Begiva, right? The worst parts of all of Tanakh. And the whole premise of the Pilagesh Begiva story is that we've turned into Sodom. Everything that happens in Pilagesh Begiva is a reiteration of Sodom. All the details, Mitzchila V'Atzof, the Rabban actually has a essay where he tries to find subtle differences, but the big story is the parallels. And it's very, you know, as the Navi Yeshayahu says, Kistom Hayinu V'Amorit L'Amorah Daminu. Couldn't be worse. But there's a detail in that story which is meant to be the greatest indictment of all. Remember, they're traveling along the way and the sun is starting to set, and there's this discussion that happens, should we go to the non-Jewish city, to Yavus, which would become Yerushalayim? It's a big theme at the beginning of Sefer Shoftim and the end of Sefer Shoftim, about how Yerushalayim is referenced there, the two places, the beginning and the end, where it's referenced, where we don't have a central city yet. It's just like, we don't have a national leader, we don't have a national city. So they're walking by Yavus. And they said, no, we can't go there. That would be dangerous. It's not a Jewish city. Let's go a little bit further. It's dangerous to be out on the road, but we'll get to the Jewish city. We'll go to the Ramah, we'll go to the Giv'ah, we'll go to Binyamin, and we'll be fine. We'll be safe, because family takes care of family. That's the tragedy. Im lo yirachim ha'ach al ha'ach, mi yirachim alav. They had every reason to believe, of course, we're not in hostile ground. We moved through the enemy lines. We're now safe. Ve'ein ish ma'asefo sam ha'baisa. It's Sodom. It's not Ham Yisrael anymore. That's the tragedy of Pilagesh Begiva. Sefer Shmos is a story about how a family becomes a nation but can retain its familial identity. Achenu kol beis Yisrael. And sadly, if you have individuals who aren't invested in that, like I say, that's an unforgivable betrayal. So I wanted to spend the last few minutes developing this point one very small step further. Of course, in a thematic sense, Sefer Shmos ends with the Mishkan. The construction of the Mishkan, the completion of the Mishkan. Ki anan Hashem al Mishkan yomam ve'esh ti'alai labo le'inei chol beis Yisrael b'chol ma'asehem. Part of that, of course, relates to the idea that the Mishkan creates cohesion for the Jewish people. They're all encamped around the Mishkan. It was built through their collective donations. It gives us a shared destiny. Continuation of Har Sinai, Ki Ish Echad, Belev Echad. All of those themes are true. But I think the expression of family as it applies to the Mishkan goes much deeper than that. We know, as is reiterated throughout the second half of Sefer Shmos, that the Mishkan was built by Bezalel ben Uri ben Chur l'Matei Yehuda. He was the primary architect. Of course, the Kaddish Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe. Moshe communicated to Bezalel. Chazal very beautifully tell us that Bezalel was even able to figure out conversations that he wasn't present for. Bezalel kel ha'isa. But every time we meet him, he's Bezalel ben Uri ben Chur. We know who Chur was. Chur, Bezalel's grandfather, was Moser Nefesh al Kiddush Hashem in the context of the Egel. And his grandson built the Mishkan. And I would put it in stronger terms, only his grandson could have built the Mishkan. Only the grandson of somebody who was prepared to make the ultimate sacrifice to try to save the Jewish people from the worst possible sin, from the ultimate betrayal, who gave everything, especially his own very bright future. Hinei Aaron v'chor imachem mibal dvarim yigash aleihem. Chor could have been the leader of the Jewish people in the next generation. He was a generation younger than Moshe and Aaron. He's one of those three that went up to the mountain in the war against Amalek. After Chor's death, we have the more full emergence of Yoshua ben Nun as the heir apparent, but who knows what would have happened had Chor lived. The Mishkan is built on the legacy of sacrifice, and the legacy of Mesiras Nefesh from Yisrael. And ultimately, that's what potentiates the Hashras Hashchina. I do not believe that there can be any meaningful relationship that we have with God without this quality. Bezalel builds the Mishkan on the Zechus of his grandfather, who sacrificed so much, everything, to try to save the Jewish people. To go back to the Gemara and Shabbos on Daf Lamed, Shlomo can't enter the Mikdash on his own. He needs his father's zechus, who didn't live to see that day, just as Chur didn't live to see the day. But his father, who fought the wars of the Jewish people, who risked his life time and again, L'man Am Yisrael, Bavur David Avdecha Al Tashay Pnei Mishichacha. That's what grants entry into the Mikdash. And so this is a time of great national sacrifice. Of course, the Chayalim and the Mifakdim and the Ktsinim, whether that sacrifices their lives or their physical health and well-being, their mental health and well-being, their family life, the sacrifice of the women, which is a very important part of the story, the economic sacrifice, the Jews of Chutz Laaretz, who are contributing incredibly financially, missions, in a different kind of a way. But we shouldn't just think that that's okay, that's what's required. You know, Mesiras Nefesh, and, you know, doesn't necessarily have significance beyond that. No. The Mishkan was built on Mesiras Nefesh, and the Mikdash was built on Mesiras Nefesh. There is no Hashras Hashchina without it. Kol Beis Yisrael means that we're willing to sacrifice for each other. When the Anan descended on the Mishkan, it's because we deserved it as Kol Beis Yisrael. If we behave that way, if we're loyal to each other, Hashem makes his presence felt. If we treat each other badly, Hashem withdraws his presence. Don't take it from me. It's an explicit Gemara. That's what the Gemara in Yom Daf Tes says. When we started to treat each other badly, Sinas Chinam, Hashem left. And the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. If we want to merit Hashras Hashchina, we have to be prepared to sacrifice for each other. Bezalel ben Uri ben Chur. Shlomo hadn't made those kinds of sacrifices. David had. And it was his chus that allowed for the Hashras Hashchina. So it's not only a matter of family loyalty, but the end of Sefer Shmos promises us that in the context of family loyalty, when we behave as a kol beis Yisrael, the way that members of the family would willingly sacrifice for each other, then we merit ki anan Hashem al mishkan yomam ve'esh tielai labo l'nei kol beis Yisrael. If we don't, so Hashem doesn't want to be so close to us. It's obvious to anybody who's a parent. When your children treat each other well, it's the ultimate nachas. When the children treat each other badly, it's the ultimate agmas nefesh. A trivial story, but to this point. We kid around with the kids. We don't encourage them to fight at home. And I'm not sure how much my wife likes that I say this, but I say it all the time. It's one thing if you want to fight at home. I'm not encouraging it. But the minute you step out of this house, you better protect your brother. Somebody's picking on him. So we had a morning this week, I won't identify, but two of the children, I think, were fortunate that nobody from The Hague was there. I think they would have identified certain war crimes, or attempted war crimes at least, in the kitchen before the bus came. It was one of those mornings. And then I got a call from the school nurse. Now, you don't want to get a call from the school nurse because it means that you can't get any work done the rest of the day. That's what it means. So it wasn't that I was happy to get the call, but I was happy to get part of the call because the school nurse says to me, so-and-so is sick, you have to pick them up. Fever at such and such a level. Okay, so that's the rest of this day and then the whole next day, right? The 24-hour rule. I said, okay, I'm on the way, ready to hang up. And the school nurse says, wait, there's something I want to tell you. Something very sweet happened. This is just a few hours after, you know, the incident in the kitchen. Somehow, the sibling heard that the other one was at the nurse and came running in to check to make sure that, you know, he was okay. And I really appreciated hearing that. When you act as a kol beis Yisrael, when you show that, and again, we're not talking about great mesiras nefesh here, we're talking about little kids, but who understand what they're, even if in the kitchen they're willing to, but they understood what they were told, that you have to look out for each other when you go out into the same thing is true of us. When we find ourselves as in an am levadad yishkon, as we find ourselves right now, so our sense of commitment to each other has to be much stronger, has to be even more powerful, and then we could be zochet to hashras hashchina. That's the test. Bitzal ben Uri ben Chur, Bavor David Avdecha. So the sacrifice is important in its own right, to show family loyalty, imlo yirachim halach halach miyirachim alav, but it also has great implications bein adam l'makom. If we're not prepared to sacrifice for each other, it's going to be very difficult for us to make a claim to have a relationship with Avinu Shebashamayim. The same way, to put it in terms that we all instinctively understand, if you have a child who wants to be very good to you, but you know was just not very good to their brother in a way when it really counted, the parent would say, I'm very disappointed. You weren't there for your brother or sister. We can't have a relationship under those circumstances. The Hashras Hashchina at the end of Sefer Shmos is a direct consequence of the cohesion of Kol Beis Yisrael. And it's true then, it's true now. If we want to have a relationship with Him, now is the time for sacrifice for Am Yisrael. Now is the time for family loyalty. That sacrifice is in the military sense, it's in the financial sense, it's in every sense to do everything that we can. Chasan mechedro, vekala mechupasa. In any context, a sense of achdus, of in the unity and familial piety was important. But be'es tzara v'acheichem kol beis Yisrael yivku es asreifa asher sarav Hashem. I know it's exhausting because we're at it for so long. It's 5 long months of war. But we have to redouble our efforts. We have to be mechazek ourselves and each other. That as long as this goes on, here and there, b'chol makom shehem, we have to be prepared to continue to make these sacrifices. And so when we say the words on Shabbos, chazak, chazak, v'nis chazek, we have to take those words to heart and to redouble our efforts for all of our brothers and sisters. Nam Yisrael, we're part of an extended base Yisrael, and if we do that, as happened in the days of the Mishkan, ki anan Hashem al Mishkan yomam ve'esh tielai labo, le'enei chol beis Yisrael. It wasn't only that they happened to see it, but it was, in my view, causal, because they were a chol beis Yisrael. That's why they were zocha to this hashra'as hashchinas. With that, I wish everybody a wonderful Shabbos, and we look forward next week to Parsha Zachor, discussing the themes of Amalek, the Megillah, and Purim, which will be upon us.
Thank you.